Hey everybody, welcome back to Friends from Film School. I'm Luke Pilgrim.
I'm Brad Kennedy.
And I'm Ellis Trees.
All right.
Do we do the little...
No.
So, today we're also live on TikTok today, so if you hear us respond to a question or something, that's why. And the reason we're live on TikTok is because we've been doing this TikTok experiment for the past few months, where it all started basically where I had this idea to pretend like I had a ghost and just sort of make some fun videos and see what kind of reaction they got. And then that story evolves into ghosts, what I think are poltergeists becoming aliens. It's all very found footage, kind of like...
How'd you describe it? The Blair Witch of TikTok?
The Blair Witch of TikTok was sort of my idea for it. And then it's grown a lot. And we're like, now we're just trying to make tons of videos and keep up. And it's pretty fun.
It's really fun because it's an outlet to just make random creative, like, one-minute movies that...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like we would want to do that with, like, a larger scaled form movie, but...
Right.
Logistically, we couldn't output as much as we are right now.
Exactly. Sure. So, if you're listening to the podcast version right now, then you might hear us talking to some people in here. A couple of people have popped on. Hey, guys. How's it going? But anyways, today we're going to talk about something that Ellis... brings up a lot, because I don't know a lot about this subject, which is anime.
Which, to be fair, you guys bring up a lot of stuff about movies I haven't seen, and then I just am lost. So
yeah. So he basically, we had this, the agreement was that he would, I guess, suggest an anime for me and Brad to watch.
It's like a taste of...
Like, just a taste, because I only gave you one episode of a series.
Yeah,
right.
So, and in my defense, I've seen some animes.
Right. Brad knows a little more than me.
But, yeah, I'm not all in like Ellis is.
I'm the noob here.
Luke grew up and saw, like, Dragon Ball Z and them screaming for three episodes and was like, this is stupid.
You're going to love this.
Yeah,
just never watched
totally.
It again.
Let's see. Someone said hi. Hello. Here's the hardest part of being live on TikTok is people's usernames. Elia B. Martinez or something. I can't read it. When words are all written together, I can't read hashtags.
I can't read.
I can't even read.
So
here's Ellis.
Hey, what's up?
Here's Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
Yo, I wish... That's the other thing about TikTok. This vertical aspect ratio drives me nuts.
Yeah, because you can only get so much.
Yeah, unless you put the phone like 20 feet away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what were we saying?
So we're jumping into anime. Ellis is really wow, I can't talk today. Ellis is showing us a bunch of stuff that we don't quite know. New series.
Yeah.
It's almost like a primer, like appetizer of what, like, the world of anime is like.
It's kind of like there's like so many TV shows that you guys watch and you're like, this show is really cool or whatever. There's like staple TV shows where it's like you have to have seen these shows because it's just like mainstream. It's like everyone's seen them. Like it's just part of pop culture.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with like anime where there's like certain ones that's like must watch if you're kind of into that world.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was like, tell us the very best one to watch.
And I picked you one.
You picked what you said is the best anime ever made.
No, that's not true. That's fake news.
Well, then what's
what
that?
I did is I picked you one that is the least anime out of anime that's kind of lean more.
We're going to have a debate.
It leans more towards regular television.
Ellis, I hope you are ready for me to debate you on every
that's fine
part of this episode.
That's fine.
So you're saying this one's more like a mainstream?
Does
the audience even know what we're talking about? What show?
The show that I had you guys watch the first episode of was Attack on Titan.
Okay.
It currently, or at least in the past few weeks, had its first half of its final season come out. And it was trending like on Twitter as like one of the number one tags. And the story has just gotten absolutely nuts.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like really been a big deal like these past few weeks.
The story's gotten nuts, as in like the new parts of the series.
It's kind of like how Game of Thrones was, where everyone was like super hyped to like see the new season.
So because I remember hearing about it. You know, I feel like when it came out, and what like most anime, it's based off of a manga, right?
Manga.
Okay.
Manga. Get it right, bro.
So, for people in the audience who don't know what a manga is, please explain that.
So, basically, anime starts out as a visual novel. It can be a visual novel or a manga. A manga is basically like a series, but drawn out. It's like a comic book.
So it's a Japanese comic book.
Pretty much.
So, pretty much, anime is animation of these Japanese comic books. So, very similar to what... I guess in the West we experienced with, you know, Marvel superheroes turning into like Saturday morning cartoons, right? Like Justice League Unlimited, you know, Batman the Animated Series, stuff like that. That was really popular in the 90s and the early 2000s. That's what anime is to Japanese culture. Okay.
And it's kind of funny because when I had an anime class in college.
Yeah.
And it turns out that like anime is really more like animation to Japanese people versus Western animation is more, it's pretty much considered anime to them.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like
it's a flip-flop.
Yeah, it's a flip-flop.
Okay.
But
so with the like the style and stuff, did the style come from necessity because of like budget in terms of like the still frames and stuff like that?
A lot of times, yes. It depends. So they have to like output a lot of animation, and most of it's hand-drawn. Thankfully with computers there's a lot of like mitigation between what they used to have to do versus how they can do it now. But unlike wides, it's usually a still shot that they just kind of like pan across the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I noticed a lot of those.
A lot of Ken Burns effect.
Yeah. You know, and like... a lot of times you don't think about it, especially if you're not in like the film world. Because they need to sell some sort of movement. They can't have a static shot. But a lot of times if you
the sound design helps too.
Yes. But a lot of times they'll throw in like elements of like dust blowing, right? Or something like that to try to make it feel like there's some element of movement in the shot. When in reality it's just one shot that someone drew that's panning across the screen.
Yeah.
And that's just to save time.
Gotcha.
I
feel like sometimes even a thing with anime is it'll be a close-up on someone's face, right? And the only thing that's really moving is either the mouth or the eyes.
Yes,
right?
So exactly.
It's, everything's the same. Everything's still.
And if you watch people,
sometimes
like,
it's just the pupils.
Yeah.
Just the pupils are going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you watch like background characters, a lot of times there's a lot less detail in them because they're trying to get through the like scene really fast.
Well, there were a few times watching this episode of Attack on Titan where like it's a wide shot, you know, painterly background, and then like the characters in this wide shot are very, I guess, rudimentally drawn. You know, they're not as detailed as in the close-up.
But
I feel like they get away with that just because they'll cut to a wide.
And that happens a lot with the first season of an anime. Sometimes it's flip-flops, but they don't have a budget when they first make it, or they have a small budget that the studio is the studio's producing it and they don't have a lot of money, so they have to cut corners.
Yeah.
So they only animate the stuff that really matters.
Gotcha.
Like when the big Titan comes up, it's really cool. Or like when they're flying through the trees with like the ODM gear. They're trying to sell you on the idea of what this can turn into if the series is like successful.
So really more so than just how television has a pilot episode that gets approval by the studio network and then they move on and have the budget to produce the whole first season. The first series or season of an anime is almost like the pilot program like showing, hey, if this gets picked up and gets really popular, that's a way we can we can expand on this even more.
Yeah, and a lot of times there's only 12 episodes in the first season or 24, 26. It kind of floats around there. But yeah, you're basically trying to get people invested enough to want a season two. But then it also comes down to going through visual novels and mangas and finding stories that are worth developing into animes.
So is it as much like finding a story that's worth developing, or is it like Attack on Titan as a manga, right? I'm saying that correct?
Yeah.
it was popular enough that the studio that produced it was like, oh, we don't just see the need, like, here is the need, we want to make this because so many people are asking for an Attack on Titan series.
Funny enough, it actually like started off as like a one shot, like they were just gonna make this small little like episode for Shonen Jump, which is the shonen's a genre of anime. So Shonen Jump is a magazine that comes out in Japan that advertises new upcoming shonen animes. And shonen is basically like action-packed fight scenes, powers, stuff like that. Like if you think Dragon Ball Z, something like Attack on Titan, anything where there's like a lot of fighting action,
gotcha,
that's shonen.
So less of the
less slice of the, life and like
yeah slice of life high school drama style animes that exactly. I feel like get a bad rep. People not into it.
Shonen's more like fantasy, like I want to explore like different like crazy ideas.
Gotcha.
Real quick, so sorry, I'm not sure what they're saying. Oh, I like that anime. My fave is 1-2. Is 1-2 an anime? Are you saying that's your favorite 1-2?
I think maybe. He's saying that's his favorite 1-2.
Okay. Yeah, that's their favorite 1-2. Cool. Well, then, so far, you've made a good choice.
I almost gave you guys Steins Gate, and I was like, no, that's like too heavy and weird like to start you off with.
Hey, master. I am mass scientist. It's so cool. Instead of a bitch.
When did you first get into anime?
Like mid high school, sophomore year, maybe.
Gotcha.
How?
I had a friend. So I was in the robotics team, and like I had a friend, Gerald, and my friend AC watched. They both watched anime.
I can totally picture you on the robotics team.
Yeah, 100%. But they basically introduced me. I think my first one that I ever watched was Blue Exorcist. And
he's
yeah. It sucks, doesn't it?
I honestly don't know.
But I started with that, and then I really...
Is that like a sequel to Blue's Clues?
No.
We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from. It's a letter from our friends.
Wait. No, Dragon Ball Z was my first one because I watched it with my brother when I was a kid, but I wasn't like super invested into anime until
I feel
Blue
like
Exorcist.
There's, I feel like there's a difference, right? Because I watched like Pokemon and Digimon as a kid, and I was big fans of them, but I feel like there's a difference when like you watch them almost as children cartoon shows and then going, oh, I'm into anime. Like this is a part of who I am.
Exactly.
Now.
That's the thing, like, when I was growing up, like you mentioned, I was watching, it was Dragon Ball Z and all this stuff, and I couldn't get into it, you know, and so...
So the problem, too, is, like...
What deterred you from it?
I think part of it was, you know, clearly I'm a visual person, and I love... I couldn't, like, this animation style, I didn't like it at the time, you know? I was like, this, the fact that it's, like, a static shot that's been being manipulated, I was like, this, it feels unfinished, it feels cheap or something, when I wanted that, like, full-blown, like, serotonin-inducing cartoon, you know? Which I guess it does in those, you know, when you're powering up stuff.
But all cartoons do that, though, I would argue. Like, even Western...
Oh, you mean, like, still have the...
Like, they have like, the still shots.
Right, they cut corners everywhere. Yeah. They have to. Yeah. But it was just so obvious, like with the stuff where the mouth wasn't moving or something, especially I feel like, I don't know, back then it seemed like it was even more so like that.
Yeah. See, that's why I feel like, I think as a follow-up to this, I definitely want us to watch Akira, because the way Akira was made, you know, it was animated in 24 frames per second. So I don't know what frame rate most animes are. Is it like 8 or 12?
I honestly don't know.
And this is getting like a little bit more into the weeds if you're not familiar with you know, animation, but most of the time, you know, stuff shot on film, even if you're watching the video version of this podcast, it's at 24 frames per second.
So this says most anime is done from 2 to 12 distinct images per second to achieve 24 frames per second. by repeat. Wait,
they they double up the frames. So, it's like every 2 seconds. If it's at 12 frames per second, frames would be the same shot.
Akira was actually 24.
So, and that's the thing is like Akira is so fluid in its animation. You know, I mean, even certain Disney movies, you know, obviously
I agree with you. Akira, it was probably the first anime film that kind of like defied like the traditional norms and then went into like that full like film feeling like animation. But anime now has a lot of scenes like in episodes that feel like that.
Yeah.
Like when you get to the parts in the story that like really, really matter, that's when like the animation team goes all in.
Yeah. But I guess it's that like give and take, right? Where sometimes they're going, well, we really need to save all our efforts for this scene. You know, it would almost be like if Marvel
was going... Well, it's like a TV show though, right?
Oh, yeah. Like the CW shows and stuff like that, they have a very limited budget.
Exactly. Right?
So, you know, the Flash TV show or Arrow, they're going to save up the budget for those shots.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Anime wasn't making that kind of money back then, right? Because there wasn't a Western audience that was as invested as it is now.
Uh-huh. Right.
So they're starting to get more and more funding to make better and better like quality anime as time goes on. It's just like it's almost like they're years behind where like TV is.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
That's almost how it feels.
So what about there's certain parts where it looks like a completely like 3D object.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up with that, where it goes from sometimes static shots 2D to being sometimes like full blown like 3D animation almost?
It's one thing that like I kind of hate in anime is they use CGI.
Uh-huh.
And that's a way for them to also cut down on animation time and cost because they create 3D objects.
Like there was a bell or something, I think, in the episode that rang or something.
Yeah.
It looked like, and then there was close-ups of some kind of gears or something. I can't remember maybe it was their weapon, but it was like, I mean, we're like flying through this thing very clearly like this. So it's where it's like, you know, like.
A lot of times it just saves time, right? Because if you have someone who's having to animate that full scene of going through, there's a
3D object. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about approaching that from a 2D perspective and drawing that and like animating each like frame going through, where they can save time by creating a 3D object, 3D camera, and just moving it, and then they're done.
Would you say it doesn't blend well though?
Doesn't. It's interesting to go from such like almost literally still shots to something that's a full 3D, you're moving around the object.
It's like when I think of animated scenes that like does that really well, which of course is this one's a huge, you know, budget compared to probably most animation series, is Beauty and the Beast, right? The ballroom scene where they go down through the ballroom to see Belle and the Beast dancing. You know, that's such a beautiful scene, but that was like an Oscar nominated Best Picture movie,
right?
You know. So that's like the highlight of that combination. But
I agree. That was all hand-drawn, right?
Like, it was hand-drawn mixed with CGI.
Oh, okay.
So parts of the room, the way the camera swoops in and like, you know, floats down, it's a giant like crane shot.
Wow, so they could do that in, that was the 90s, right?
Yeah, it was like the early 90s.
But they were making, because that was like
Rescuers
around,
Down Under incorporated CGI as well.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I remember that. That's a cool movie.
That was one of the first Disney ones to do so.
But, I mean, this whole CG thing, you kind of eventually can forgive it.
Yeah.
It's something that like doesn't, you don't think about it as much unless it's like jarringly apparent that it doesn't fit in the scene. And they've gotten a lot better at blending it, but something that a lot of people critiqued in the latest season of Attack on Titan was there was a studio that handled seasons 1 through 3, and then they traded the rights. So now there's a new animation studio that's producing season 4, and they used CG a lot more heavily for like Titans and stuff. And so a lot of people were like, you totally are like going against like this, almost like this style that was set. They stayed pretty true to it for all the characters, background design and stuff. They just use CG more to like kind of like make all these like scenes
Gotcha. Like, and I imagine fighting. Too. Yeah, there's a lot more fighting than what we saw in this first episode. Oh, yeah. Really, that's the inciting incident of the whole story.
Inciting incident, which was pretty mind blowing. Whenever everything started, like when the Titans start attacking and stuff, and I love the opening a lot though, where they're going to fight them. I was like, I want to see more of that. I want to see them like going through the forest, ready to fight these things. But why are these things have to be naked?
That's
like,
what I was.
There's a lore reason, but the whole thing
big,
about
giant thing, and I guess they don't have
they don't have genitals. But
so here's my question though, like these Titans, are they like zombies? Like I didn't really
fully
get that.
I can't tell you
that.
if you want to keep watching, because the whole point of Attack on Titan is it alludes to a coming of age story like boys and girls, where it's like the world is a scary unknown place.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they're trying to do. So you start the anime knowing nothing about the world, except you're in this little bubble and everything I know about this world is contained in this little bubble. And then eventually it spreads and you learn more and more and more about the world beyond.
Because really my question is, why are they all naked? Like, if these Titans can think, you know, like I understand the Titans in Kong versus Godzilla that we just watched, like a giant ape and a lizard, like they're monsters. Of course they're not going to be wearing like a suit coat or anything,
pair of pants. I'll give you like a mini, it's not like a super spoiler, but
this person said Titans don't have clothing his size.
Titans can't think. Okay.
Okay.
So they're pretty much mindless. They're kind of like zombies.
Zombies. Okay.
Except for this new variant that has been introduced. That destroys the wall. They're the first like that are almost cognizant.
Whoa.
So
I
feel like what you showed us, there's more questions than answers, obviously.
And it's hard to say it without like ruining the whole show, because some of the magic from watching it is getting it's to slowly discover all of this information.
I mean, as it is with most shows.
Yeah.
That's part of the fun.
Could you imagine watching something like Lost and then explain the whole thing? You're like,
in the first episode. So the I guess one of the things, though, that was annoying to me is, and I think maybe it's like a language barrier or something, but the dialogue is so like cheesy sometimes.
Did you watch it with the subtitles, like in Japanese?
Subtitles in Japanese, okay. Yeah.
So I watched it in the English dub, which I'll let you say your...
Okay, you watched the English dub. So I watched the Japanese with subtitles, and then it was just like this... It's when the lady's screaming, like, tell me my son's life meant something. It felt so on the nose.
So Japan's pretty bad about that, but also there's no direct... I learned this in a Japanese class. There's no direct translation from Japanese to English.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... Like, not one or every word means the exact same thing. So there's a lot that's either lost or has to be adapted. So that happens with dub. Like, when they make the scripts for, like, the dub anime, which is the English version, they have to kind of adapt what they're saying and like try to make more sense while staying true to it.
Gotcha.
And then you get a lot of like really funny dialogue out of it sometimes.
Yeah. So yeah, when I looked up to watch the show last night, you know, Ellis shared us his Crunchyroll account and I pulled it up and I realized it's all in Japanese with the subtitles. And I don't know, I know I'm kind of in the minority on this, but man, I just cannot watch animation in the original language. Like, I think either it's something that's carried over from childhood of watching like Pokemon and Digimon and stuff like Dragon Ball Z that was all in English.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Like, if I watch a foreign movie, like if I'm watching Japanese as well, Akira Kurosawa, like Seven Samurai, I'm not going to put it in dub, obviously, because you're seeing real people talk. But for me, with animation, if it's Brazilian, you know, French, anything, I'm more inclined to switch it over to an English language.
That's interesting.
I was with you, like, when I first started anime, because I watched everything in English, and I was like, I don't really want to have to swap over. I could just watch it in English and see everything. So I was there, and then someone finally pushed me to watch the sub version, and at first I was like iffy on it, but the emotion almost it the emotion feels more real to me at, from the like original like Japanese audio. Like it feels, I can feel it more so than like the dub version. See, I don't know how to explain like, it.
I don't know.
The emotion was funny sometimes. Like when they I don't know. I guess it's just the sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when they're crying or something, they sound forced to me. But that's because
I've seen so much of it. But,
and that's why I was the only critique of watching this where. Is as an introduction to anime, I wonder, because I watched it, and it's like I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong on that, but I felt like it still has the tropes of anime. I didn't feel like it's the least anime of anime.
I would disagree.
Really? Because I feel like the whole whiny protagonist, like, I'm a boy, I gotta be a man, and like, he's like yelling at people. I was like, this dude, just...
That's like one archetype, though, right?
He's yelling, he was like, just like having a conversation, and then totally screaming at the top of his lungs, yeah. Like, what the why aren't you doing? You know, he's like screaming, and like, it's what seemed like just a normal conversation.
Yeah. Well, the kid's like 8 or something, too, uh-huh. But... I disagree only from my amount of experience and
really,
stuff that I've watched. Dude, it's so bad on like how many tropes there are that this is like so grounded. Mm. It's still a fantasy-based story, but
as grounded as a series of giant naked people attacking
thing,
a city.
The
can
only
be.
Other thing that I would argue is more grounded than this is Steins Gate, because it's just about time travel.
I liked it.
That was a terrible argument.
So it's more grounded because it's about time.
But it's like there's no one with like superpowers or anything, right? It's
what about just... something like Samurai Champloo or
that one's pretty grounded too. It's just animation's come such a long way. I wanted to give you something that was more modern.
Okay.
Compared to something older. That's why I didn't want to go with Akira right off the bat.
Oh, I mean, I agree. Akira is definitely out there. Yeah, as far as the stuff I've seen,
it's more grounded because it's about time travel. I was gonna ask you something. I can't remember what it was now. Oh dang it, I forgot now.
So
carry on.
Anyways, this anime I watched it in 2013. It was like,
and that's when it came out.
That was the first season. Okay. Yeah, and everyone was like raving about it the first time they watched it, and I was like, you know, this is cool, this is all right, but I also felt like something wasn't like, it kind of felt off on the first episode, and I left it, and I just didn't watch anything past it, and then finally came back, finished the season, and was like, whoa, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then season 2 and season 3 came out. It was like a 5 or 6 year difference almost. It was like
really?
2017 or 2018 when season 2 wow. came out, and they made so much money from season 1 that like, it's like night and day almost compared like
really?
Between the two seasons.
Really?
Yeah.
And like quality.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, someone has a question for you.
Oh, what is it?
We got a question.
They just asked a question. It's for anyone, I guess.
Do you watch Weeb? I am a Weeb, I guess.
Is Weeb a thing to watch?
No.
No, Weeb's like
Weeb is almost like an insult.
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew that, but but they're saying, do you watch Weeb? So I think they know something that we don't know.
I don't know. I think they're just calling me a weeb, but that's okay.
I don't know. Man, is there an anime that is like, so you think Attack on Titan is like the most accessible to Western audiences that aren't familiar with it?
I mean, I would say so, yeah, because it's almost got the same vibe as like when Game of Thrones came out. It's just something that kind of like keeps you interested.
Do you feel like because it's high fantasy in that way? Sorry.
I mean, I guess so.
Are you talking in terms of popularity?
Yeah, it's just something that's really popular that like I know a lot of people.
Cuz I feel like it, when I watched it out, I was expecting from the way you kind of advertised it to us, and advertising is probably the wrong word here, but the way you talked about it, I was expecting it to be way less anime like than it was. Which I'm not saying that was a bad thing, because, you know,
Here's the thing. It's like there's so many that are out there. 80% of anime is really bad, right? Because it's like so tropey and like has all these things that's unnecessary. Yeah. The story's not there. They're just it's fan service, right? They're just trying to pitch you on like these half naked anime girls, like the entire like just like season.
Is that why people are into anime?
Maybe, dude. Like, probably. But there's still like the 20% that has really good story.
Yeah.
And that's like the anime that I like. It's something that has like a really engaging story and something that I can almost connect with that like reminds me of like movies or TV shows.
Yeah.
Hey, they said no, I didn't want to insult you, sorry.
Oh,
but yeah, okay. Anime, I mean, this story, I thought this had a really good story. Like, I thought the concept was really cool. Like, the idea of these giant creatures or whatever outside the walls. The walls are huge.
I wish I watched another episode. I felt like I just only got, like, the very beginning
of it. If you guys, like, if you just watched maybe two more episodes, I think you'd be hooked for the first season. Because I
agree. I think there's the potential.
Yeah, I was pretty hooked by the end. I was like, I definitely want to see what happens. When it, dude, the whole mom thing was just
really
so disturbing. Like, even though it's a cartoon,
like she got,
him like when he like puts his hand like
spoiler alert,
you know.
Dude, it only gets worse. They don't shy away from violence and
anime. It's like it felt fairly tame until all of a sudden like a boulder squished someone and blood went everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it was like all hell broke loose.
Oh yeah.
I'll say this, even to like the limited animation style, I like how they use it to their advantage in this episode of watching like the guys come back after, I guess, defending outside the wall. And I see where you get the connection with something like Game of Thrones. Yeah,
the wall.
It's a very similar vibe, I feel like. But they come back and then it's like those quick, like, you know, it's almost drawing shots of all of them beat up. And I thought that like really drew it home almost better than if it was just showing them walking in and it was like complete animation. So I feel like that's the cool thing where anime over time has really developed the style where it works to its advantage, where people are like, even though this is a limitation, and probably it's not, like you're saying, as much of a limitation now, they can still use those tropes and those like shortcuts of, you know, the limitations they used to have still for style and flair.
Yeah, it's like the limitations became part of the style.
Yeah.
And like, it's, this show's like really good, or this anime is really good about like highlighting the themes of loss, despair, like overwhelming, almost like overwhelming hopelessness, but then also like fighting against the odds and like overcoming your weaknesses, overcoming any like obstacles or hurdles that you have.
Yeah.
So it's like showing the resilience of like humanity. And it's like a really good, engaging story by the end of season four. I haven't seen the second half.
Yeah.
I thought about reading the manga because it's not going to come out for like another 2 years. But
really?
Yeah.
Dang, they like taking like their time.
Well, animation takes significantly longer than filmmaking.
True.
Yeah.
It
I don't know if you know this or not, Brad, but animation takes longer than filming.
Well, I mean, it's true, though, because they have to do
nothing's
so much.
More, let me tell you something, Luke. Nothing's more grounded than time travel.
Oh!
Points deducted.
I've been hit.
We should.
I bought a Nerf gun the other day.
In case you didn't notice.
Like, just for fun. And I just, like, it was impulse buy. Saw it at Walmart. And now Ellis has been traumatized because I shoot him a lot.
Yeah, we're actually, I'm going to buy a Nerf gun and we're going to have an entire Nerf war. It's just going to happen now.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
I'm ready to
I'm going to invest way too much money into like a really nice
Nerf
gun.
Oh, I imagine so.
And
you're going
like,
to show up with the Gatling gun and go...
I'm
going
to be like, hey, Luke, can you come outside? My car's messed up. And I'm going to step around the corner.
Dude, I would know something was up because I'd be like, you're going to ask me to look at your car? Like, I don't know anything about cars. Look at this thing, though. Like it.
It's pretty
impressive. I like the double, double chamber here. What do you call this? Double revolver, yeah.
For something that's not even like an actual Nerf brand,
no,
one, it's pretty
this
impressive.
Is called Adventure Force, and it was $10.
at your local Walmart.
And I got to get, they're not sponsoring this, but I need to get some more little bullets here because they're too hard to, too easy to lose.
Somebody send us a really nice Nerf gun so that I can destroy Luke with it on camera.
That would be awesome if we.
Oh man. You want to take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Hey guys, we just wanted to take a quick second to tell you we have launched our Patreon page. It's a place where listeners can help support the show and gain access to exclusive content.
Now for $5 a month, our Patreon members get bonus episodes like our classic movie nights, where we watch classic films and talk in depth about what we liked, what hasn't aged as well, and how they achieved some of their special effects.
You'll also get early access to episodes before they're released to the public, and we'll give you a shout out on an episode of the show as well. Now this is a growing platform, so we'll be adding all kinds of new content over time, and you can gain access to all of it exclusively at patreon.com/friendsfromfilmschool.
You can follow at Sozo Bear Films on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Now let's get back to the show.
I would say Steins Gate's probably like my favorite anime, but I would
say of all time.
Yeah, and I would say Attack on Titan's more accessible to like someone who's just getting into it.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm trying to think, because I've seen like obviously Pokemon, Digimon, Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, which I think that one might be.
I like
one of
Samurai
my,
Champloo a lot.
That one's cool. It's definitely. I feel like that one's almost geared more towards a Western audience.
What's
than
cool
anything.
About them is the creator incorporates different genres of music into his anime. So he did Cowboy Bebop. Yeah.
Have you seen Tokyo Ghoul?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never watched the new season three of it, though. I got to Tokyo Ghoul was like cool, and then it got kind of weird.
Are you rapping? Tokyo Ghoul was cool.
No.
Well, how did it get weird?
So they're basically the synopsis of Tokyo Ghoul, spoilers for anyone who's watching.
Hey, yeah, if you guys are watching.
But, basically this human kid, there's these people called ghouls and they feed on humans and human blood or whatever. And this kid is lured by a ghoul cause they look like humans, this girl, and she ends up trying to eat him, but she gets crushed by rubble, so does he or whatever, and there's like some sort of surgery and he gets parts of her implanted into him, so he becomes half human, half ghoul, right? And so it's like him struggling with like kind of like turning into a ghoul and like losing the ability to eat normal food, and he has to like feed.
Is that
on,
the
like,
one where the person has like the zipper on their face or something?
Yeah, he's got like the red eye.
Yeah,
like zipper face.
I think his name was Kaneki. I don't remember though.
Hey, thanks for the new follows there, guys.
Man, what was I going to say? Yeah, I think one thing, too, I've been playing the re-release of Final Fantasy VII, the remake of it, and I definitely, the Japanese style of storytelling is so just interesting.
I would say like, it's like very different from
it is
like a Western style of
it's
storytelling.
So foreign, and there's like a charm to it for sure. Like same thing with watching Attack on Titan. There's this like weird charm. Right before we got on air, me and Ellis were talking about this, where when I watched Attack on Titan last night, it was right before going to sleep. So I'm like half asleep. Like I'm about to pass out, but I was like, I gotta finish this episode. But I almost prefer watching anime in that way because it almost feels, there's like this days to it, you know,
dreamy quality.
Yeah, it's like, weird. It
and I totally agree because I do the same thing. Like the only time I watch it is like right before I go to sleep. Yeah. There's something about it that just hits different.
It almost reminds me of what is it, like YouTube will have those like VHS style like anime like lo-fi beat stuff, and it almost gets you into that mental state
exactly.
of like,
yeah,
and there's this dream state to it all and everything feels so surreal, but it's pretty cool. I don't know,
but I would say going back to your storytelling point, I think that it's something that the more anime you watch, the less that you can like compare it to like how we tell stories.
Oh yeah,
because
as a Western,
it's so different, and it's like you almost have to just accept the way they kind of tell it, and it makes the stories like more engaging and like entertaining.
I feel like there's a point with anything that's not from your like, I guess, native language or country. You know, I mean, even the British version of The Office versus the American version are so night and day different.
Exactly.
Because there's something inherently British and just ingrained in that culture that's different than how Americans just view humor or comedy. Right. And it's just night and day. You know, some people in America might prefer the British one, but it's so different. So I agree with you where eventually if you accept like this is like I can't conform anime to the way I want it to be. You might, in my Western.
It's just like watching like a regular like cartoon that we have now, or like a Disney movie. It's like it's not going to be the same. And if you can kind of like accept that and like watch it for what it is, it makes it more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So one thing I think is really cool about anime is just like the influence it has had on live action filmmaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at like there's so many filmmakers, and I guess like I feel like. Tarantino
is really into it. Yeah. I mean, Kill Bill Volume 1 has a whole section of like backstory where you know, it's in an anime style.
And they have a lot of like really pretty like cinematography that kind of like takes its influence from.
And I would say even Zack Snyder, I think.
Zack Snyder.
Has been influenced.
I mean, you can make a lot of people have before, but the argument that Satoshi Kon's animated film Paprika influenced Christopher Nolan creating Inception.
Inception. Mm. And then like Perfect Blue was kind of like the same situation
Black Swan. Yeah, Darren Aronofsky is very big into you know, I think his anime influence is pretty wide as well.
I could see that.
But the interesting thing on the flip side for it to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ellis, but I feel like there hasn't been a popular, at least here in America, like anime series that has turned into a live action movie that's been like critical success.
Work.
Yeah, it's weird.
Work.
Right. So where they took an anime and then made a movie.
For
about,
example, like, there's a live action Attack on Titan movie.
Oh, okay.
And it came out on Netflix. Trash. It was terrible.
It was terrible. I feel like I heard about that. Oh, so it's like, what does it look like? So they have the giant.
It's weird. So
Titans outside and stuff.
There's something that like they don't. It's kind of like how British movies don't really nail like effects and visual effects, and it looks cheap.
Yeah.
It's kinda, sorry, British movies.
I'm sorry. I mean, not all of them are that way, but it's like if I watch a British TV show, there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't feel right.
Like, what was the one we were talking about that it was like the Amazon series because you mentioned it with David Tennant in it.
So there's a live action Attack on Titan?
Oh, Good Omens.
Yeah, you said like that was like
the effects,
poster child.
I almost dropped it because of the effects. Yeah. It was not great.
But anyways, what were you saying? To the effects.
So basically,
there's the poster. It looks cool.
The effects kind of hit that same area where it's like it doesn't feel quite right, and they're almost trying to use too much of the anime like comic booky art style without giving that like realism to it, where it just doesn't, it's like this weird uncanny valley.
I guess it's that similar thing where I feel like eventually in the early 2000s comic book movies started to get it right.
Yes.
Where they were almost a little too comic booky, and then finally they just went, okay, like X-Men wasn't, you know, we're going to put Hugh Jackman in a yellow and blue costume, and he's going to be the comic book version of Wolverine. He's a, you know, guy in a black suit that, you know, the similarity is his hair is kind of that pointiness, and he has claws.
That's why I'm almost saying it's like, they're 10 years behind.
Yeah.
But then if you look at the Dragon Ball Z movie that came out when we were kids, in the same vein, they tried to like mitigate that by making it more realistic, and it was just god awful because they didn't stick to like a lot of the original stuff from
And I feel
show.
Like there's a campiness too with some of the anime that they almost, if they want to go too serious in tone, you know, like Dragon Ball Z has some campiness, some weirdness to it that I feel like, the movies probably wanted to shy away from.
Which person should I eat first?
And there's also unique quirks in anime that just don't translate to live action, like the way that they emote.
Yeah.
You know? I'm trying to pull up a trailer for it.
But I feel like that's the interesting thing, where a lot of filmmakers, at least here in the West, have taken, you know, the they've taken bits and pieces from anime. You know, like The Matrix leans really heavily on influence from that and like, you know, Hong Kong action films and then science fiction, you know, from the past. But it, same thing with Tarantino. They kind of synthesize it all to the point where, okay, it took the good parts of it and made it work instead of relying too heavily on it.
I think that's the way to do it too. Yeah. 'Cause even people that make, I mean, sometimes like when you make indie stuff, it just doesn't, like they'll make an indie anime style short film or something. Yeah, yeah. And it's like almost leans too much into the anime side.
Yeah.
'Cause it's like, you're really passionate about it. You want to showcase it in your work. It doesn't translate. It's like, you got to do what Tarantino kind of did and just take those small bits and pieces and work it and kind of bake it into like your movie.
Don't... Or like, I feel like the only one that kind of leans almost too close to it, even though it's coming from a graphic novel, is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Right?
Oh, dude.
But that's the whole style of the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was more video gamey almost.
Yeah.
Like,
it's true. A mix of all of it together. Yeah. Throwing in the Seinfeld theme.
This actually, the trailer looks pretty cool.
The trailer looked awesome, right?
Yeah.
And then the movie was not good.
But, like, what? Death Note was a very popular anime series. Got a, you know...
Death Note was really good. I almost recommended that one to you, too. But you have to watch more... You have to watch, like, 3 or 4 episodes to...
But then it got a Americanized Netflix movie.
It did.
And I, from what I've heard, was not that good.
There's a reason that...
Directed by the same director as Godzilla vs. Kong, though.
Yeah.
So the Attack on Titan movie goes through the whole series or something? Like, how?
I think it was like all of season one. I'm trying to remember where season one ends, but
man, the trailer looks cool.
I didn't like finish.
I almost want to watch it now.
I didn't finish the live action.
Mm-hmm.
I watched like 30 or 40 minutes of it and then just dropped it. I was like, I can't watch anymore.
How you feel the Cowboy Bebop series that's coming out with John Cho is going to be?
I'm actually kind of excited about that, because if there was an anime that I think would probably work in a live action series, it would probably be Cowboy Bebop.
What is it? I don't know what it is.
Cowboy Bebop is a space western in a lot of ways. So
very bluesy. That's kind of like the musical theme that they use.
Jazz influence. Jazz, but blues. It's cool. It's, you know, came out back in like the 90s, but you know, it's these kind of rogue people out in space, but you know, it's kind of a western in a lot of ways.
Where are you going? What are you going to do? Just throw your life away like it was nothing?
I'm not going there to die. I'm going to find out if I'm really alive. I have to do it, Faye.
It's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah.
What does it say? You talking about Death Note, what you rated from 1 to 10?
For Death Note, the first season I would give it, like a 7 or 8. And then after the big twist in season 1, it kind of just teeters off. Mm. The second half is like not that great. But the whole build up to the end of the first part, they could have just ended it almost. It was really good.
Mm.
Is that the thing where with anime, does it overstay its welcome?
Sometimes. For most, like, if you look at One Piece, for example, there's this illustrator. He's been creating One Piece since, like, early 90s, I think. This anime is still going. It's almost hit 900 episodes.
Whoa.
And he said that he had another 5 or 6 more years before it's done.
What?
Yeah.
900 episodes?
Yeah. I've watched almost all of them. And
oh my God.
He knows that from personal experience.
Dude, I don't know if it just needs to end. It's too long.
Really?
It's not.
Is it good?
It's cool, but it's not worth 900 episodes.
Has it become more of an obligation at this point where you're like, well, I'm already 900 episodes in. I got to see it through.
Yes. It's literally just trying to finish the story because I want to know what happens.
No, it's like, man. It's like Supernatural. It's like, you guys got to end the show.
It's like, yeah, The Walking Dead, dude. It's like, please end it. I need to just know what happens.
It's those like series where you were a big fan, you were super invested at one point, but you're still invested, but to the point where you're like, I don't really care, but I do in a way that I have to see how this is.
It's like, I would never recommend it, I think, anymore to anyone. Like, it's all right, but it's not worth not your time investment of 900 episodes.
That's a lot. Have way too many episodes.
But then there's other anime that's only like 12 episodes, and it's like, dude, that was good. I need a season two, and then they never get the funding, and it just never happens. And you're like, cool.
So in a lot of ways, I feel like that's similar to American TV, you know, miniseries or like short-lived series, and then stuff like The Simpsons that will never end.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess maybe to move towards putting a bow to this whole episode, how would you say for people, you know, that aren't really into anime but maybe want to get into anime, what would be your like recommendations to getting into the genre?
Attack on Titans 1, if you're someone that's like never even entertained the thought, I would do it just because it's fun. It's got a cool story. It's got a cool world. If you are a little bit more forgiving towards like some of the tropes and you want a really, really well done story, I would say Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. That's a fantastic anime. The story is incredible. And then Steins Gate is also something that if you can watch 6 or 7 episodes and you can really just like give it time because it's a slow burn, the story snowballs into one of the like most epic like time travel stories I've ever like watched.
Do you feel like people are that kind of, I feel like there's two trains of thoughts. There's people who've jumped really into anime, and then there's people who are like, I think this is, they see the weeb culture, you know, the kind of fan service side of it, of like, you know, all the girls that, you know, and some of these guys are like, that's my waifu or whatever.
Which is really unfortunate, because like, it's even like that at conventions, and it's just because 80% of it's just garbage. But it's like playing into these like fan service-y tropes that like, that's what people want to see. It's the same thing. There's a new genre called isekai, which is like, I get reincarnated into like some high fantasy world or whatever, and like the whole story takes place there. It's become a genre that was cool when it first came out with Sword Art Online and ReZero, but it's just gotten watered down.
Gotcha.
And it's just not that great anymore.
But would you recommend to people, like, don't let that side of anime culture, like, hold you back? Like, there's tons of good stories in the genre that you don't even have to get into that.
Yes, there's a lot of, like, diamonds in the rough, right? So it's like just knowing what to pick and choose from, or like having recommendations from someone who knows like how not to steer you in the wrong direction.
Gotcha. What are your thoughts on anime now that after, are you going to continue?
Yeah, I'm going to keep watching. To me, it's almost like it's such a, cultural, like, I don't know what you call it, but
is like, it like
phenomenon, right? Yeah. It's like a phenomenon, whatever. It's like, it's just such a big thing. I'm like, so many people love it. I'm like, there's got to be more to it, you know? And I haven't barely dipped my toe in the world of anime. So I'm going to keep watching. So, I mean, I'll probably try to watch some more episodes of Attack on Titan. Definitely want to watch Akira because
it's a good movie.
I've seen parts of it, you know?
I think let's just say it on air. Next episode, let's watch Akira.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
I would say that and like all the Miyazaki movies are like a totally different like world of anime.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, he has like such a different style compared to like what anime is now.
And we really haven't even touched on Miyazaki, but he's like the Japanese Walt Disney in a lot of ways.
Exactly. So. That's literally what he is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Literally. Sometimes, you know,
well, maybe not literally, but he was basically kind of like the flagship for anime, right? Yeah. He created a lot of really influential films,
and I feel like it's the more friendly or family friendly side of things, right?
And he's come out and said personally he hates what anime's become now,
really.
Yeah, and he just doesn't like the direction it's gone in. And I kind of like feel that. That's why like there's the 20% that I think kind of leans more towards like that world and his style that is good. And there's a lot of good shonen stuff too, but I agree a lot of it now is just not good. It's bad.
But not to discourage anyone from getting into it.
No, there's still great stories. Yeah. There's great stories out there.
I feel like there's, it's when you go to any different, any new genre, you know, someone might be averse to watching horror movies or sci-fi, but, you know, you're not going to show them, you know, the middle of the pack or worse, you know, horror movie. You know, you're not going to be like, okay, watch Tremors 4. You know, this is the pinnacle of horror. You know, you got to watch it. And they go, what are you talking about? Like, this is terrible. You know,
yeah.
You show them something like The Exorcist or Hereditary or Halloween. You know,
you give them the best of the best.
Yeah, the high standards of that genre. And then
it's like, give me a Spielberg movie if you were going to recommend Spielberg to someone who's never watched it.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Close Encounters or E.T. You know, you're not going to go, oh, watch 1941. You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't even recommend like,
Ready Player One, the newer stuff.
You know?
Gotta watch War Horse, man. Yeah. If you need to, if you know Spielberg, if you want to call yourself a fan.
Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, I think there's a lot to anime, and it's cool to, you know, for you kind of paving the way for us and showing us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you walked
so we can run.
I've seen a lot of bad stuff.
Cool. Well, so next week we'll watch Akira. And if you've been hanging out on TikTok, thank you for listening. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify or watch it on YouTube or listen on any other podcast platform.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys who are listening on one of those platforms or watching on YouTube. We appreciate the support. And tune in next week to hear us talk about Akira.
See ya.